Good morning, Faith Life Church. It's great to be in your lounge room again, and I trust that this week has been an amazing week in the fast lane, in the life lane of God. And today also we want to finish off our life cast by having communion with you, so be prepared for that at the end. But today, as we are, as you've seen in the news, and everybody's talking about it, that it will look like we're exiting our quarantine, especially as a church. So we're preparing to move. But my prayer is that we're going to, things are going to change for the better, not for the worse. So I'm praying that we don't go into a normal. You know, as I'm preaching today, and as I've been seeking the Lord all week, it is, how do we exit this place? How do we exit the quarantine? How do we prepare for a desert transfer? Today I want to talk to you about a desert. So there are so many deserts. There are financial deserts. There are health deserts. There are motivational deserts. There are so many places. When you look at the word desert, the pictures that come to mind is a place where there is scarcity. It is a place where things don't grow. It is a place that you want to get out of quickly. But there's a natural desert, but then there is also a spiritual desert. There could be a desert of revelation in your life. There could be a desert of hope in your life. But I'm here today with the good news of Christ. There's something special about a desert. A desert is not a dwelling place. A desert is where God promotes you. A desert is a place where God takes you in one level and you come out of another level. So today you need to become prepared. So we're going to finish off the message by telling you, giving you some major keys on how you can prepare. Let me just read this verse to you. In Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says this. In the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of the one calling in the wilderness or a desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And what you see is that the good news starts in the gospel. And so you got John the Baptist, and you realize when you look at the scripture, the word desert or wilderness means transfer. The word in itself means it's not a place where you lack. It's not a place where you go and die. It's not a place where you go and decrease. It is when there is a transference that happens. And what we see in the first, in Mark chapter 1, there's going to be a transference from John the Baptist to Jesus. And it's interesting enough that God puts John and he says, I want you to go and start preaching in the wilderness. Now, if you had some good news, you wouldn't go outside of the town into a deserted place. You'd go right where the people are. But here's something interesting, is God started his kingdom and he says, John, you got good news. There's going to be a transference that will happen to you, to the people in Israel and for the rest of the world. And I want you to start to preach it in the desert. So here's something interesting. So if you wanted to hear the good news, you had to leave the town. So it's kind of a paradox where God wants to give you the good news, but he wants to give it to you in a desert. So what's fundamental in this is to be in a desert means you've got to leave something. So what do the people leave? They left their surroundings, they left the synagogue, they left all the things that they were familiar with and went into the desert. Now, a desert is a place where there are no distractions. A desert is a place that is quiet. So all of a sudden, God takes you out of your norm. God takes you out of what you are used to, and he puts you in a dry place where you are no longer getting your hope. You're no longer getting your energy. You're no longer getting your entertainment. You are no longer getting the things that are normal to you. He takes you out of what you classified normal, and he puts you into the desert because he wants to transfer you to another level. There's another level in God. There's another level of revelation. There's another level of worship. There's another level of healing. There's another level of deliverance. And God says, but I've got to take you out of what you considered normal. Normal is this, is that you can look at it and miss it. So you get up in the morning and the things in your bedroom, when you go into the lounge, everything is normal. So you don't even think about it. So God says, I want to bring you to a place that I take you out of what is normal so that I can upgrade you. So I just want to show you some of the definitions of the kingdom desert. So a desert means there's going to be a transference of blessing. There's going to be a transference of healing. There's going to be a transference of finance. There's going to be a transference of hope. There's going to come into your life something that you couldn't do on your own. Now look at Joel 2 verse 3. And there's a part in this verse that says this. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, a desert waste. Let me read it to you again. Before them, that means in front of them, is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them is a desert place. So here we get the picture, is when you're walking into the desert, you're walking into the Garden of Eden. You are walking into your hope. And it says this, when you walked into the desert, behind you is the desert, but in front of you. That's why the Bible says there's a future and a hope. So every time when you look at a desert, the desert is not an end. A desert is not a destination. A desert is not a punishment. It is a place of transfer. So God says, I want to take you out of what is common to you, and I'm going to take you to a place where you feel you have no hope. See, the things around you, God says, come into the desert, so you're going to leave the things that are telling you this is normal. You're going to leave the people. You're going to, all the chatter that says you can't do this, you can't do that. And some of you even might be praying, I just wanted to go back to normal. The good news is, it's not going to go back to normal, but it's going to get better. It's not going back to the way it is. Our church, Faith Life Church, our worship is going to hit another level. Our children's ministry is going to hit another level. Our youth ministry is going to hit another level. You know, in this time, people are getting saved, people are getting healed, people are getting delivered. Everything is happening still in the desert. So I'm here to tell you that before us is the Garden of Eden, behind us is the desert. So right now you might be feeling in a desert, but a desert is a really good place. Let me just show you something. In Numbers, it says this, Numbers 1:1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of the meeting in the desert of Sinai on the first day of the second month of the second year of the Israelites that came out of Egypt. It's really interesting. I want you to see a desert place, a place of transfer, is a place where God speaks. Now, so God had to take him out of Israel and he brought him to Sinai. He brought him to a desert. And guess what? God downloaded the word. The first five books of the Bible were downloaded in the desert. So get a load of this. This is how dramatic this is. The children of Israel came out of Egypt without the word. But when they left into the desert, in the desert they got the word. And when they left the desert, they became the people of the word. So they came in, God took them into the desert and he downloaded, he transferred the book to them. He transferred, and what was in that five books? Every promise that is needed for you to build the kingdom, that is needed for your marriage, that is needed for your business, that is needed for your children, that is needed for the community, that is needed for whatever need there is, God says, I am transferring the answer to every problem. And within these five books is the prophetic voice of the Messiah that is going to come. So God says, I take you into the desert. Can you imagine people going, wow, what are we doing in the desert? What are we doing in the desert? In the desert, God is speaking. God is speaking. So what you'd even find that when Moses went up to Pharaoh, and he said this in Exodus 5:3, says this, and God of the Hebrews has sent me, Moses talking to Pharaoh, let us take 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifice of worship to the Lord our God. I want you to notice this, he wanted to bless them, but he had to take them out of the familiar. So we get the children of Israel, they're sitting in slavery, they can hear the slave masters. All of these things are happening that is reminding them that they are not moving forward. So what does God do? He says, I want you to do this. I want you to take 3 days and I want you to go in the wilderness. I want you to look around and no longer be contained by your surroundings. Because understand this, the children of Israel were slaves. So everything and every single day, they could visually see what was keeping them in prison. They could hear all the slave masters. They would eat prison food. They would have prison expectation. And God says, the problem you are having is you're still getting your contentment, or you're getting your identity from your surroundings. These things that are around you are telling you who you are, are telling you what you can be and what you can't be. So what does God say? For me to give you a transfer, a desert transfer, I need to first take you into the desert so we can have desert transfer. So he takes the children of Israel out of all of their commonality and he says, now you're in the desert. So, well, oh no, what's going on here? What's going on? But he says, when you understand the desert, you would be excited. See, when David, the psalmist, being a shepherd, talked about the desert was always a place where you could herd sheep. So when the sheep finished all the produce that was on the land, they would be transferred to a fertile time. So a desert always spoke of get ready for a transfer. So a desert in the kingdom of God, when God says, I'm taking you to a desert, you should be yelling, you should be singing, you should be rejoicing, because it's God saying, my desert is an invitation for you to get to a next level. My desert is there so I can transfer what is in me and transfer it to you. Just remember what he did to the children of Israel. They came into the desert without the written word, without the mind and the thought and the promises of God. And they left as the people of the promise. They left as the people of the word. They left as the blessing for the whole nation. They came in and they never blessed any nations. But guess what? They came out and God transferred a blessing to these people. And because of them, we are blessed. Because of them, you and I have been a privilege to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the blessing, it starts off in the desert. And a desert is a place of transfer. That means to you right now is you need to relax in your spirit and go, I am here ready for a transfer. So we don't fight the desert. We don't claim the desert. We don't go, well, this is as good as it gets. Understanding is that you're in a desert, so you're no longer got this problem. You no longer have this problem. So many of us have been quarantined into our homes, and some of the things that used to worry us, like traffic and things that don't worry us anymore. So God brings you into a place where everybody says, it can't happen. Nothing grows here. It's the end of it. But God says, understand here that I took a man by the name of John. And John, the immerser, I brought him into the desert. And people came into the desert so that they can have a transfer. So the desert is there. Jesus started his ministry in the desert. Let me just read to you that in when John came up, he comes up to Jesus and he comes out of the water. So John sees him. John is the immerser. He sees Jesus and there's this transfer. And John goes into the water with Jesus. They both come up. He baptizes him. Jesus comes out of the water. And I want you to see the first thing about the desert experience. In Matthew 3, verse 17, says this, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son who I love. With him I am well pleased. I want you to notice, this is in the desert. There might not be a huge audience anywhere else, but the gospel starts, the desert experience starts, where Jesus affirms it. And he says, what I want to do, Jesus, I'm going to tell you who you are. I am going to move in your life. I'm going to do things through you. So in the desert, you get your identity. Here's the amazing thing is, we get our identity from what we wear, what we drive, where we live, our friends. But God says, you can never get your identity in the city. You need to get your identity in the wilderness. And in the wilderness is only you and me. So what God is saying in the desert, everything around you cannot tell you who you are. What's really interesting, one of the most common questions on the globe is, why was I born? Why am I here? Why do I look like I look like? Why am I this nationality? We have all of these questions and we are looking at everywhere else to find the answer. But the answer is found in the desert where you go, I have no one around me. There's only God and me. And I don't know. I am in the desert because I can't help it. I can't move myself. So we move into the desert, and what does God do? He speaks. He speaks, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, so you need to start, a desert experience starts, is understanding and accepting who you are. Not what everybody else has said, not what even some of your parents have said, not even what the culture says, not what our nationality says. It is, God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I'm well pleased with that. What you know is, a desert experience starts without work. Jesus hasn't performed any miracles. Jesus hasn't blown people away with his amazing sermons. He hasn't delivered anybody. But the pleasure of God comes into a place where you can't do. See, in the desert, you can't grow things. In the desert, you can't plant. In the desert, you're in it. The reason it's called the desert, because nothing grows. So that means your effort is useless. Whatever you came in the desert doesn't do anything for you because you're at the mercy of the desert. But here comes God and he says, I want to proclaim. I want to give you a blessing. So what does he do? The first thing he does, he proclaims the blessing over your life. Here's the good news right now in the desert. God is pleased with you. God loves you. God says, you are my son. You are my daughter. If you have been born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, wow, just think about this. You might not have received Jesus, but here's God saying to you, you can enter this, you can move into this. So what we have is that Jesus comes in and he comes out of the water. He knows who he is and he knows that he's pleased the Father. So everything that he's going to do is not going to try to get his identity. He's not going to try to please God. He is starting out, walking out of the desert with knowing who he is and knowing that he has pleased the Father. What a weight of our shoulders would it be if we were to all accept that we are loved, we are forgiven, and God is pleased with us. So nothing we can do can give more pleasure to God than he already has. So I want you to know, so he comes out of the water. Next thing that happens in the desert is that he fasts for 40 days and then he gets tempted by Satan. So you'll find this, we haven't got the time, but in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, we have the testing of Jesus. Now, I've always looked at this testing of Jesus and it struck me because this is in the desert. And I realized I was kind of sitting over this, praying into this, and going, okay, God, you need to help me. How do we now prepare? So we're in the desert, but how do we prepare? So Jesus is in there, and the temptations are this, is that once Satan's wisdom and God's wisdom are now going to be tested. So Jesus becomes hungry. And so what happens is this, is that Satan says, well, okay, look, I'll tell you what to do. I will tell you how you can fix this problem. Now, understand, they're in the desert. Jesus is hungry now. Jesus is not looking for food. Jesus is not praying, God, give me food. It's Satan comes to him and he starts to counsel God. Now, just for a moment, get a download on this. Is that the audacity of Satan, and he's coming and he says, I am going to counsel the Son of God. So he comes to him, let me show you how you can get over this problem. You are hungry, do it this way. And Jesus, phenomenal. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone. So what you have is the two counters of God. So God is saying, in the desert, I am going to remove the counsel of Satan, or the counsel that is anti me. So God is saying, in the desert, I am going to teach you that I am the answer for everything that you need. So here's the, so God starts to counsel. Now, let me show you when I started to think about this. Look at something with me. In Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, David shows us what this counsel looks like. He says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So what you know is that the Bible says, blessed is he who does not walk in step with the wicked. So what we have, just listen to what we've just read. Let's go back to Matthew 4. So Satan is coming up to Jesus and he's giving him counsel. He's saying, the way out of this problem is this. But the Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in step or in the counsel of the wicked. So the beauty of it is, in the desert, we are coming to grips with that the counsel of the wicked. That means the way we used to solve problems, the way we used to think, the way we used to do things can also be a mixture, as we talk about the tree of good and evil. So God says, now, for you, for a transfer to happen, I'm not going to transfer it the way that you think. I'm not going to, it's not going to be by your effort. It's not, the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by education, it's not by who you know, it's not by what you know, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. So what we have is, the first thing that we learn is, when we start to prepare to walk out of the wilderness, is this: I'm going to stop listening to the counsel of the wicked, and if I have a problem, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to God and go, God, I have this issue, I have this problem, what is the solution to my problem? Instead of running around headless and going, I'm going to find this, I'm going to find that, God says, counsel. So what we have in the temptation of Jesus, every single time he says, this is the wrong counsel, this is the wrong counsel. Even when he says, look, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. He goes, you're telling me how to get this counsel, but my counsel is from above. I'm looking at a kingdom that is not of this world. So what we learn is this, is in Psalm 1, is we start to seek for the counsel of God. Remember, in what's in the desert is a transfer. So what happens is this, that every time I seek counsel from the Lord, I get a transfer of what is needed to walk out of this, the desert I'm in. So if it's financial, God gives us a biblical transfer on how we walk out. If it's with your health, a biblical transfer. Whatever is affecting you, there is a biblical transfer. I'm going through a desert and I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to get a transfer. The transfer is that I am now under the power and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. So I no longer look at the problem and go, I'm going to find my way out. I'm going to stop finding my way out. I am in the desert. In other words, I am admitting this. God, I have walked out of trying to do it myself. I have walked out of my ingenuity. I have walked out of what I think can get me from A to B. But I am now coming. I am in the desert. I'm depending on you to speak to me. I am here because you invited me to the desert. You're the one that said, if I wanted to hear the good news, I had to leave and then come. So God says this, now see, not in a company mockery, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law every day and night. Just think about this. What do you do in the desert? Start to meditate on God's word. That means we start to read God's word. We start to look at ourselves in the word of God. We start to go, this is just not good advice. This is the counsel of God. So what we want to do is just let us get back into the word. So what happens is in the desert, he speaks. But remember, what's in the desert? You know that you're in a desert. I've come for a transference. So when I leave something, I go into the desert, I am in a place of transference. And the Bible says he meditates a day and night. In other words, is this, when you talk about this day and night, is this, is that it's not something that I do on a random basis. It becomes a part of my life. So when we talk about this word, it's not something that I just, it's not a medicine, it is. I've heard people say that it's a medicine, it's like a medicine bottle. Yes and no. The reason I don't believe it's a medicine bottle is because when I'm sick, I don't need this. See, you only go to the doctors when you're sick. But this is not just to get me healthy, but it's to give me strength. It's to give me ability. It's something that is a part. Understand this. Let me just give you a quick download on this. We've called him John. We've called him John the Baptist. Now, the word Baptist or the baptism has so many meanings, depending on what denomination you're from, depending on your theological background. But the word that is used in the Aramaic, John spoke Aramaic, he was John the Immerser. So when he knew this, is that you have to be totally immersed in something, not just dipped, not just sprinkled. So what John was saying, in the desert, you get fully immersed. That means that there's not one part of your life that doesn't get touched by God. Come on, how good is that? I mean, if you're in the church, you can give somebody a high five. If you've got someone next to you, nudge them with your elbow. This is how good this is. See, in the desert, you get fully immersed. You go through that. How do I prepare? I get under the counsel of God. And it's that easy. God, I don't know what to do this. God, I've been trying for a promotion and I haven't got one. God, I've been trying this with my child and it's not working. God, what is the counsel of heaven? So that's what desert experience is about. The way you and I prepare is this. Why don't we just leave the old things behind? Let's leave things that are not working. Let's go out into the desert where everything looks different. And let's go and say, God, I'm here to speak to you. God, I'm here for you to speak to me. And where we're heading, and I believe this is a prophetic word for us as a church, and you as an individual, for your family, your friends, and your neighbors, is that we're coming out of the desert. But we're not coming out the way we came in. We're coming out because God has transferred something to us. Now, I'm going to close on this, is that the blessing is not found in leaving the desert. That we don't leave the desert to find something. We received it in the desert and we go out to live it. Now, listen to me very carefully. So sometimes we just go in and out. So what happens is this. Let me just backtrack a little bit. The children of Israel went into the desert without the written word. And then when Moses comes out from Mount Sinai, that's why it's so important. God says, I give you the word. So the children of Israel, when they left the desert, they had the word. They didn't leave the desert to get the word, they received it. So the desert is so crucial. So in where you are now, before you go in your situation, God downloads it to you right now. Hey, whether you're in a desert of unforgiveness, there's forgiveness for you. If you're in a desert of that your emotions are all over the place, that you know you're up and down like a yo-yo, one day you're good, one day you're bad, you need God. You could have a health problem today. You don't have to camp in the desert. So we're going to pray in a moment. And I am believing for supernatural desert transfers to happen in your life. We walked into the desert without anything, but we're walking out of the desert with everything. That is the good news. Here's what was interesting. Jesus didn't start to preach after he'd received, after Jesus didn't preach before the desert experience, he preached afterwards. So I'm here to tell you, yes, we've walked into a desert. yes and all that. Let's reframe the desert. I am in my desert and I'm excited because in the desert, I'm getting my transfer. So why don't we get ready to pray? And I'm going to believe as I am praying, whatever your need now. You may be sick, and if you can, put one of your hands on the part that needs healing. If you need peace, why don't you just put your hand on your heart? We're going to start to believe. And I am believing now as I pray that there's going to be a transfer from a desert to the promised land. Father, right now, I just really thank you for everybody that's listening to me. And Father, for right now, for people that feel that they're in a desert. But Father, I pray for the download. They're not in the desert, Father, but they are in a place of transfer. They're in a place to prepare. And so, Father, right now, I pray for the counsel of the Holy Spirit to come upon every single person. Father, I pray for every need, let there be the counsel of God. Father, for all the people that need forgiveness, there's the blood of Jesus Christ. For Father, for all that need healing, the counsel of God is, by my stripes you are healed. Father, for all that need peace right now, the counsel of God, that I am your peace. Father, for all those that need direction right now, I just thank you that you are our direction. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just release the revelation knowledge of your counsel upon everybody. Father, I thank you as a church that, Father, we are walking out of this desert and it's going to be so much better. Father, there's going to be an extension and an explosion of growth. There's going to be an extension and explosion of miracles. Father, we are just thank you that we have walked in one way, but we're going to walk in another way. Father, what we thought was a desert has become a place of transfer. What we thought was sorrow has now become a blessing. What we thought was no hope has become an extension of hope. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for our deserts. I just thank you that, God, that you come into a desert and it doesn't become a place where things don't grow, but it becomes a transfer of growth. It becomes a transfer of life. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak over every life that there would be a supernatural transfer in their desert to the blessing of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. I pray that this week, get into your word, meditate day and night, prepare your heart with the counsel of God. Doesn't matter how small the problem is, the counsel of God is there. There is no problem in your life that the counsel of God doesn't touch and rectify to the way that God wants it. Hey, God bless you. Stay with us because we're going to have communion. And hey, I'm looking forward to being with you again.
Great to see you, Faith Life Church. What a powerful message from Pastor Ted. And I'm just excited about just what God is transferring to us on a daily basis. And it just really it made me think about doing communion today together. So if you've got your cup and your bread, I'd love you just to pick that up as I just want to read a scripture. And let's just remember why we take the bread and the cup. It's because it's the bread of his presence and it's the blood of his presence. And so when we are meditating and just picturing the reality of who God is, we realize that he's a present God. He's our present help. And I know for you right now where you are, you need a present reality of this. But let me read a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to pick it up at verse 13. Down to 16. The Word of God says, "We are all experiencing times of testing, which is normal for every human being, but God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. My cherished friends, keep on running far away from idolatry. I know I'm writing to thoughtful people, so carefully consider what I say. For when we pray for the blessing of the communion cup, isn't this our co-participation with the blood of Jesus, and the bread that we distribute, isn't it the bread of our co-participation with the body of Christ? The word there, co-participation, actually means the presence of the blood and the presence of his bread. So as we come around communion today, I'm just believing that as you take the cup and as you take the bread, that there will be a presence reality of God administering his healing. Remember, we have a high priest who is perfect. This high priest sitting in heaven is interceding for you right now, and he's distributing all that you need. And whatever you're going through, he already comes in and he screens and he filters things. So he knows exactly what you can cope with in your trial, in your testing, whatever you're going through. He's already screened it. He's already let his grace come in and overshadow whatever it is, because he knows that what you're able to cope with. And so he's wanting you to trust him through this, that he's bringing the healing. He's releasing the healing touch into your body now. And we're just going to pray right now and ask God just to manifest his presence through the bread as we take it and through the cup. So let's just pray right now. Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, Lord, that we've been perfected. We've been made holy through the blood of Jesus. We've participated, we've co-participated with it. Lord, we step into the presence of your blood. We thank you that it's cleansed us from all sin and all iniquity. And Father, you said that if we sin, we have an advocate. We have access to the cleansing. And so, Father, right now, we ask that you forgive us of all of our sin, Father, our missing the mark, our shortfalls, Father, our trusting in our own capacity. Lord, forgive us of our sins where we've harbored resentment and unforgiveness, Lord. We ask that you'll cleanse us right now. Let the presence of the blood begin to cleanse us afresh, Father, and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, I pray. And Father, I just thank you for the bread, Lord. I thank you that it represents the body of Jesus that was pierced for us. It was broken for us. It was bruised for us. It bore, Father, all the sickness and sin, Lord, and iniquity, Father, and our transgressions. And Father, we just thank you that now, Lord, we just release, Father, we just release the touch of heaven, the presence of Christ in our body, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We speak healing into every cell, every fiber, every part of that body, every system, Lord God, in us, Lord. We just thank you that it was a perfect healing, a perfect provision. And so, Father, we just thank you now, Lord, that we can come together as the body of Christ, Father. We eat the one bread and we drink the one cup. And Father, today I just release a blessing on your people. I release the healing anointing, the provision for a clear mind. And I just speak that. I just believe there are people who are just have confusion and have a lot of things happening in their mind, but we just take authority over that and we release the mind of Christ right now. I just thank you for the mind of Christ, that we have a sound mind. God has gifted us and given us a sound mind. And so, Father, we activate that right now in Jesus' name. We activate the healing flow of Christ's provision into our body. Father, we thank you that you're touching each one, Lord. Just let your manifest presence right now. Father, even as Moses says, I will not go anywhere without your presence. Father, we thank you. You said you're going to give us your presence and rest. And so, Father, we just speak that. I command rest. And I command the spirit of the presence of Jesus to be on you right now, in your family, in your home right now. Release it. Let's just take it now. Let's take the cup and let's just bless it. Take the bread and we're going to eat it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. And drink. Amen, amen.